Saturday afternoon, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, every Saturday is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club, where the sports fans gather every week as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who knows the fans and knows the sports and knows good sports stories, too. Granny Rice has covered all the big sporting events of the past 30 years, and during that time, he's picked up a lot of good sporting yarns, which he shares with you these Saturdays. So come along with us to the Sportsman's Club for a favorite Grantland Rice story.
I know that old story about after the 4th of July, you can tell just who's going to win. What's the matter with you guys?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, fellas.
I just got this message from Granny.
Oh, isn't he coming today?
No, I guess not. Here, I'll read it to you. He says, "Dear members of the Sportsman's Club, I won't be with you on July 1st, that's the day, but I'd like you to tell everybody about the tennis matches at the Forest Hill Stadium on July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Well, that's beginning tomorrow.
Yeah. For anybody who's a tennis enthusiast, I can't think of a better lineup of racket swingers than those who are going to participate in the stadium matches on those days. Bill Tilden, just about the greatest tennis player in history, is coming back east to do his stuff for the gallery. Besides, there'll be Alice Marble, Frank Kovacs, Mary Hardwick, and other great names in tennis. And remember, fellows, the matches are being held for the benefit of the Red Cross. And that should be a double incentive for going out there."
Yeah, you can say that again. Say, how's about today's story? What's Granny Rice say about that?
No, wait a minute. Oh, here it is. "Today I've got a tennis story for you by one of our foremost tennis writing experts. Defending Champion by John R. Tunis."
I suppose you're going to tell it too, huh, Bill?
Sure, why not? It's all down here in black and white. There comes a time in the course of human events when the champion suddenly feels herself losing her grip on things, when even the salt of competition begins to lose its savor. It comes in the life of all great champions. And even though Florence Farley did not know this, it had also come to her. Things were not going so well for the women's national single tennis champion, and the people in the stands actually hoped to see her beaten. Our story begins in the Forest Hill Stadium several years ago.
Next match in the quarterfinals. Florence Farley and Grace Decay on the center course.
Press box speaking, Robinson Mail. For you, Bernie.
Davis. Yeah. Yeah, here's your lead. Ready? Where once Florence Farley had been a talented and charming little girl, she's now exactly the opposite. She's the champion, by no means devoid of charm and grace, but devoid of uncertainty. You got that? Yeah. Once Florence Farley was the favorite, the unknown comer, the player with the future. Now she's the champion, the holder. No longer the favorite and darling of the crowds. Okay, Chuck, that's all for now. No, the match hasn't started yet. Sure, it's in the bag. Who can touch the great Farley? Right. Got a match, Jim?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So you give her the kiss of death, too.
What do you mean, I give her the kiss of death? What else can you say about that dame? She's getting tougher to write about every year. You got no color.
You're nuts, Bernie. The way she puts him over, that slashing backhand, that serve, you don't call that color?
Look, chum, she's been doing the same thing for 3 years. She comes out on the court, she wins the match, she comes off the court. It's monotonous, that's what it is. Don't tell me there's any doubt in your mind that she's going to take that little Grace Decay to the cleaners today.
Well, so what?
So nothing. So little Gracie gets my sympathy. The sympathy of the spectators. Who cares about Farley? She's the champ who wins every year. She's tough. She's unemotional. She don't interest me.
Yeah?
And if you think I'm the only one, you watch the crowd today. They feel the same way. I tell you, Jim, that Farley dame's washed up and she doesn't know it.
Washed up?
Sure.
How can she be washed up if she's champ and if nobody can beat her?
Because it ain't enough just to win. You gotta have the crowd with you. You haven't got the crowd, you crack. That's what's going to happen to Farley, you mark my word. She was upset by it yesterday. Tomorrow she'll be annoyed, and the next day she'll blow up. And when she blows up, she'll start making errors, and that'll be the end of Florence Farley.
You got it out pretty pat, haven't you, Bernie? When are you going to start to write the obituary?
You don't believe me, huh? Listen, I've seen the signs, and this one is as big as the marquee in the music hall.
I don't know, Bernie. I have a feeling you're all wet about this. And I wouldn't be surprised if someday you're going to eat those words, marquee and all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the matter, Jim? Don't tell me you're stuck on that cold fish.
Oh, no.
Besides, you got a BF taken after. Well, personally, I don't see how he can stand it. He must spend all his spare time in a refrigerator to get into condition. You know, Jim, I sometimes wonder what that hunk of granite thinks. What she feels. I sometimes wonder if there's any warmth underneath that deadpan of hers. I sometimes wonder if she really could break down and cry. Like my wife does when she thinks I haven't done right by her. But I'm afraid, Mr. Robinson, that's something we shall never find out. The great Farley will go down as the great myth. And the world will be minus another ice cake.
You know what I think?
What, chum? That I'm nuts?
No. You should have been an undertaker.
Hello, Miss Farley.
Hello, Eddie.
We're all ready for you, Miss Farley. Your match is on the center court. Mr. Dennison will be right back. He's in the clubhouse talking to the head groundsman.
All right, Eddie. Will you get some tape for me, please?
Oh, sure, Miss Farley. I have some right here. I thought you might want it. Well, I wish you luck, Miss Farley, but I guess you won't need it.
Why not, Eddie?
Well, you know, what chance has little Miss Decay against you? You're the champ. Gosh, there's nobody can beat you, Miss Farley.
Thanks, Eddie. That's very sweet of you, but don't be so sure. Oh, is this telegram for me?
Oh, yeah. But I'm not supposed to... That is, you're not supposed to get it until after the match. Mr. Dennison said not
That's
to bother
That's all right,
you.
Eddie. I'll take it.
Gosh, I hope it isn't bad news. I mean, please don't tell Mr. Dennison that I gave it to you or I'll get... Anything wrong, Miss Farley?
Eddie, will you please get Dave Moore on the telephone right away and ask him to come down here immediately?
Dave Moore?
Here's the number. Now you call him right away and ask him to come here immediately.
But, Miss Farley,
please.
I...
Get him at once.
Yes, Miss Farley, right away. I'll call him right now.
All right, Miss Farley, we're ready.
Coming?
Gosh, I sure hope...
Eddie! Oh, there you are. Come on, the match is starting.
Yes, Mr. Dennison, I was just... Miss Farley...
Hey, where's that telegram that was here? You didn't give that telegram to Miss Farley, did you?
I didn't give it to her, but she came along
Can't I leave this place for 2 minutes without something going wrong? I should think your common sense would tell you that you shouldn't hand a player a telegram just before taking the court.
But, Mr. Dennison,
I know. But it may be full of bad news and upset her.
But I tell you, Mr. Dennison, I didn't give it to her. She came along, and I said you were in the clubhouse and you'd be right back. Then she saw the telegram and asked, was it for her? What could I do?
Oh, you should have known better. All right, the damage is done. Come on now, the match is starting.
Yes, Mr. Dennison.
Out, love 15.
That a girl, Gracie. Keep it up. Boy, that was a sweet shot. What's the matter, Jimmy boy? Didn't you like that?
Fault.
Even her serve isn't working.
Oh, cut it, Bernie. You're drooling.
Sure, aren't we all? That's what we came here for. To see the great Farley get taken to the cleaners. Look at that little Gracie running all over the court. Look at that cross-court shot. She put it away. Well, Jimmy boy, she's cracking up earlier than I thought.
Don't be so sure about that, wise guy. She made a couple of errors, so what?
It's that little Decay who's been forcing her into those errors, and you know it. Farley hasn't made a placement shot so far. She looks pooped. Look at him. She's annoyed. She can't control her shots. This is it, Jimmy boy. This is it. You watch.
Out. 15-40.
Too bad, Gracie. Come on now, put it away. That's it. She did it.
Game, Miss Decay. Miss Decay leads to love.
Well, Mr. R... Yes, this is it. The end of the line for the great Farley. The old champion falls. The new, more vibrant personality takes her place. The queen is dead. Long live the queen.
Congratulations, Miss Farley.
Thank you, Eddie.
Gee, for a while we were all worried about you. I mean, when Mr. K took the first three games. Gosh, I hope it wasn't the telegram, Miss Farley.
That's all right, Eddie. Did you call Mr. Moore for me?
Yes, Miss Farley. I had a heck of a time with Mr. Dennison, but I got away after the first set and called him, and he said... Well, there he is now, coming out of the clubhouse.
All right. Thank you.
Is there anything I can do for you, Miss Farley? I mean, any other calls or things like that? I'd be glad
no,
to...
No, thanks, Eddie. What Mr. Moore and I have to say is private.
Oh, sure, sure. I understand. I was just going back anyway. Got a lot of things to do. I mean, well, goodbye, Miss Farley. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hello, Floss. What's up? Gosh, I'm dead.
I'll tell you what's up in just two words. Walk back with me.
Sure. Gosh, it's hot. Oh, by the way, congratulations, Floss. I hear you won.
Thanks. Dave, remember my Aunt Susan in Millville?
Yeah, I think I remember your mother mentioning her to me.
She's my only relative except my father and mother. She's sick, very ill. She had an operation this morning. They don't know whether or not she'll live.
Gee, that's bad. Coming this week of the championship, that makes it tough for you, Floss.
I wasn't thinking of that.
No? Well, then what's the trouble?
Dave, we've got to step quick and fast. How much money have you got on you?
Oh, about $80, I guess.
80, that's no use. I'll give you my check for 300. You beat it to LaGuardia Field in a taxi, right?
LaGuardia Field? I don't get it, Floss.
Don't, Gabe. Do as I tell you. Get there by taxi as soon as you can and find out the first plane that leaves tonight stopping at Fairfield.
But wait a minute, Floss. You aren't going up there by plane and back tomorrow before your next match? You won't get any sleep. Sleep, it'll ruin your game. And your contract with the picture company depends...
Listen, Dave, please don't argue. I'll have a sweet scene with Mother as it is. I am going to Aunt Susan tonight. Get that plainly in your mind.
Yes, Florence, if that's the way you want it.
I do. Now, at Fairfield, we can get a taxi to Millville. Find out exactly when the plane leaves and when it arrives. Then wire Fairfield for a taxi to meet us at the flying field. I've had nothing to eat since breakfast, so I'll stay here and grab a bite as soon as I've washed and dressed. You better telephone me at the club.
Anything you say, Florence.
All right, I'll expect your call. Hello?
Hello, Floss? Say, this isn't so good. The last plane left for Fairfield before I got here, and there isn't another till 8 tomorrow morning.
All right, then hire one.
Hire one?
Yes, Dave, hire one.
You mean charter a special plane to go up there tonight?
I do.
Okay, hold on a minute. She wants to know if she can hire a special plane to go up there. You won't, huh? Well, Florence, the manager here says they won't charter a special plane unless you agree to take it up and back. He says they don't like to hit Fairfield tonight anyway because the field there isn't properly equipped for night landing.
Never mind that. I'll take it. Tell him I have to have the plane.
Wait a second. She has to have the plane. She wants to take it. Yeah, how much? Okay. Oh, Florence, he says it will be $450. Shall I give him my check for $150? Do you want it that bad?
Yes, of course. Fix it up, Dave. I leave it to you. I'm going to grab a taxi here, and I ought to be there within an hour. Have the plane ready, and Dave... Be sure to be ready yourself.
Well, we should be there in another hour. It's getting dark. I hope the pilot can find the landing field. Are you tired?
No.
Florence, if you'd rather not tell me, you don't have to, but... What's the reason for all of this? Why are you risking the title and an income of $50,000 a year for... Well, to visit a sick aunt you haven't even seen in years. Your mother said you didn't even like her. Is that true?
Yes, that's true, Dave. As a matter of fact, I hated her. Aunt Susan, the persecutor, I used to call her. I think that Aunt Susan is the only person in my family who disapproves of me. The only one who never took any pride in my achievements.
Then I certainly don't get it.
No, I guess it's pretty hard to understand, Dave. But for years, I've been the wage earner of the family. There was no one she could ask for help. And when I got that telegram this afternoon, I suddenly understood Aunt Susan's loneliness in Millville and the life she's led. Whereas Aunt Susan, who has never been out of Millville, has been totally incapable of appreciating mine.
Yes, but that still doesn't explain...
Don't think I can explain, Dave. Except that I had to go. I had to see that withered old spinster before she dies. This is the first free thing I have done for a long time, which hasn't been in some way connected with winning another championship.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Floss. You made plenty
of... It's true. The first free thing. And I'm glad. No matter what the consequences are tomorrow, I'm glad.
Look,
I can see her now, as I saw her on my last visit, 6 years ago. A gaunt, weather-beaten woman, standing alone on the top step of the porch of that faded little house. A lonely old spinster who has never been outside the town, who never could get outside. It wasn't a pleasant picture, and it isn't a pleasant picture now.
Floss, I don't think you should...
No, Dave, you ask for the answer, and I'm trying to give it to you. Though perhaps in a way I am trying to give it to myself. You see, I have never once made any attempt to bring her to understand my life. I have seldom written to her or thought of her. I was too busy most of the time. I was too busy even for a postcard. And then it all came to me when I got that telegram, that 10-word telegram. That was typical of Aunt Susan. Alone in her direct hour of need, she didn't forget that she would have to pay extra for every word over 10 in a telegram. And now she's finished. Through.
I think I understand, Florence.
Thanks, Dave. You've been very sweet about all this, and I do appreciate it.
This is it, Millville Hospital. You'll have to ring the bell at this time of the night. The matron will let you in.
All right, you wait here.
Okay.
All right, Florence.
It's so bleak and cold. I hope we're not too late.
You're shivering, Floss. We'll have to get you something hot right away. Where's that bell? Oh, here it is. Gosh, it's almost 2 o'clock. It took us 3 hours to get here.
Yes. Good evening. I'm Florence Farley. I've come to see my aunt, Miss Susan Farley.
Oh, yes, Miss Farley. Come in. Come in. It's certainly a miserable night, isn't it? Been raining since 8 o'clock.
How is she?
Well, she's holding her own. That's about all we can say definitely at this time. The doctor's up there now. This way, Miss Farley.
Did you get my wire?
Oh, yes, Miss Farley. And we were able to move her into the private room you suggested. Now, about the specialist. Oh, here's Dr. Faulkner now. This is Miss Florence Farley, Doctor, and this is...
Do?
I didn't get the name.
David Moore, how do you do?
Well, Doctor?
Your aunt is... Well, just now, she's no worse than she was this afternoon. But that's all I can say, Miss Farley. I was most anxious tonight to call in Dr. Foster.
The specialist? But why didn't you? I wired you particularly to spare no expense.
Yes, Miss Farley, but you see... Dr. Foster lives in Fairfield, and he charges $25 for a consultation of this sort. And then, of course, there would be a taxi for him up and back because the train service is so uncertain now. I didn't know. I wasn't quite sure.
Dr. Faulkner, can you get him by telephone?
Now?
Yes, this minute.
Well, yes, that is...
Do so, please. Have him come immediately by taxi and tell him for coming at this time of the night. I am perfectly willing to pay him $100.
Why, of course, Miss Farley, right away. Matron... get Dr. Foster on the phone immediately.
Yes,
I'll talk
Dr. Foster.
Now, don't you worry, Miss Farley. We'll take care of everything.
Hello? Hello? Fairfield 2876.
Dave.
Yes, Florence?
Dave, you better get the bags out of the car and tell the chauffeur we won't want him until...
Yes, please.
Well, let's see, until 10 tomorrow. Or rather, 10 this morning. Then we'll get you fixed up with a room and you better go to bed.
Well, yes, but how about you?
I'm going to sit up until the specialist comes from Fairfield and consults with Dr. Faulkner.
But, Floss, you'll be dead. You've got a match tomorrow and you haven't had any sleep.
Never mind. Now you do as I say.
Okay, if that's the way you feel about
it. Dave, please understand. This is more important than tomorrow's match. Now, don't worry. I'll be all right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Floss. I didn't mean it that way.
I know. Good night, Dave.
Good night, champ.
Yes,
sir. The handwriting's on the wall. Yesterday, your great Farley began to crack. Today, she's splitting wide open. She managed to beat little Decay, but she'll never take Mozi. Well, Jimmy, my boy, you still want to make that bet? After today, there'll be a new champion. The colorful Miss Motes will start her reign as the new queen of tennis. The colorful Miss Motes, the new darling of the crowds.
Okay, what's it worth to you?
$10, says Farley gets dethroned.
Make it 25.
25? You're betting 25 on Farley after the exhibition she's been putting on? Being chased all over the court?
Out. 15, love.
Don't tell me you're backing down, Bernie.
Heck no. But I like you, Jimmy boy, in spite of your pig-headedness.
25, wise guy, and I think you're bluffing.
Out. 30, love.
Okay, 25 it is. But I still say you're a...
Still say I'm a what? Wait a minute. Robinson Mail. Oh, yes, Chief. What? You sure? Well, that explains it. She's knocked out. Who wouldn't be? Now, you bet I will, right after the match. Now, Motz is leading 3-2.
Out, 40 love.
Farley just made 3 points in a row. She'll take her, I'll eat Bernie Davis' shoes and all. Okay, Chief.
Game, Miss Farley. Games are 3-all.
Well, Bernie, you wanted color about Florence Farley. Now you're going to get it. Every color in the spectrum, including the 25 green fish, are going to owe me when this is over.
Congratulations, Miss Farley. Gee, we sure were worried about you for a while. I mean, when Miss Motes took the first... What's the matter, Miss Farley? Are you all right?
Just a little tired, Eddie. Will you please take my rackets up to the clubhouse?
Oh, sure, Miss Farley. Glad to.
Miss Farley. Oh, Miss Farley.
Oh, Jim Robinson of the Mail is calling you, Miss Farley.
All right, Eddie. You go up to the clubhouse.
Yes, Miss Farley. I'll see you tomorrow.
Excuse me, Miss Farley. There's something I want to ask you.
Yes, Jim?
You mind saying whether you were the one who hired that plane to go up country last night at LaGuardia Field?
How did you... Why, no. Some other Farley, I guess, not I.
Oh, is that right, Miss Farley? The reason I ask is the AP man at the field saw you come in this morning before your match. He recognized you and checked up on it. The paper wants to know for sure. They telephoned me during the match to find out before they'd run anything about it. You see, you being champion, it makes a difference.
I'm sorry, Jim. I'd like to help you out, but...
I didn't mean to butt in like this. I know you're pretty tired after the match, but... My paper called me and asked me to check, and if it was you, well, we'd like to run the story. You sure you don't want to say anything about it?
All right, Jim, it was I. I have a sick aunt up country. She had an operation and isn't going to live. I had to run up and look after things.
And you playing the championship this week? Say, I guess there isn't many of those dames who'd risk a title like that. No, sir. Look, Miss Farley, you won't be going up again, will you?
I don't know. Not tonight. I must rest because it's a hard match tomorrow. And then, well, it depends on my aunt. If she's still in danger, I may have to go.
The night before the finals? You mean to say you'd go up and take chances of losing Saturday afternoon?
I don't know, Tim. If she needs me, I will probably have to go.
I see.
You'll keep this out of the papers, won't you, Jim?
A story like that, Miss Farley, gosh, I don't see how I can.
I'd consider it as a great personal favor if you would. Somehow, I don't want to drag the family into it that way. Do you understand?
Sure. Sure, I understand, Miss Farley.
That's fine, Jim. And I appreciate it.
Sure, I'll tell the boss how things are. He's a great guy. He'll shut down on it. So don't you worry. And look, I wish you the best of luck for Saturday anyway.
Thanks, Jim. I'm afraid I may need it.
Hello, clubhouse. No, not yet, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did Miss Farley come in yet, Eddie?
No, not yet, Mr. Dennison.
Oh, this is a fine state of affairs. Gallivanting around the country before the finals. Sick ants. 5,000 spectators waiting for the match to start and no Farley.
Mr. Dennison?
Yes, yes, what do you want?
Any news, Miss Farley?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
But could you tell me when Miss Farley left for Millville last night?
Don't ask me. You newspaper guys know more about it than I do. You're the guys who've been carrying all the stories. Champion could not be reached last night. chartered plane to visit sick aunt second time this week. Further appearance in the tournament, a matter of doubt.
Ah, the mail didn't carry it. I gave my word to Miss Farley we
would. Oh, so the other papers carried. What's the difference? The whole thing is fantastic. What a nonsense. She never should have gone before the finals of all time.
Well, you can't blame that on
me. I'm not blaming it on anybody. In my 30 years as a referee, I've never encountered anything like this. It's crazy. She's never been late for a match before. A fine state of affairs, dashing around the country all night
before. Mr. Dennison, here she comes. Hello, Miss Farley. Gee, we're sure glad to see you.
Hello. All right, Dennison. I'm ready to start. Hello, Jim.
Do you think you're in any condition to play the match after this all-night junket?
I said I was ready to start.
All right, all right. Have it your own way. Eddie, get a move on.
Yes, Mr. Dennison, coming.
Miss Farley, I'm sorry. We never printed that story. But the other papers got hold of it, and...
It's all right, Jim. It doesn't matter anymore.
Bad news?
She died this morning.
Oh.
The next match for the Women's Singles Championship. Miss Florence Farley and Miss Eleanor Molloy on court one.
Look at that crowd cheer. All washed up, eh, Bernie? Oh, look at the reception they're giving her.
Well, she's the champ, and this is a championship match.
Bunk, you know why they're cheering her? Because she's human. Because she was willing to sacrifice the championship just to help us.
All right, so she's getting a hand. That doesn't mean a thing.
Oh, it doesn't mean a thing, huh? Well, who's got the sympathy of the crowd now, baby? Farley or the other dame? You wanted color, Bernie. Well, there it is. All the colors of the rainbow.
Don't get so cocky, chum. She hasn't won yet.
She will. She's tired, all right. She's had a tough time, but look at her. She's smiling. For the first time this week, she's smiling. And when she smiles, baby, that means fireworks. A hunk of granite, eh, Bernie boy? Well, if she's a hunk of granite now, you're Mount Rainier. Robinson Mail. Now for you, chum.
Davis. Yeah. Yeah, here it is, Chief. That most popular of all American champions, Miss Florence Farley, of Greenwood Heights, New York, won her fifth national singles title in succession this afternoon to the delight of 10,000 frenzied spectators.
This has been another visit to the Sportsman's Club for a sports story especially selected for you by Grantland Rice. Today's story, Defending Champion, was by John R. Tunis and was dramatized for radio by Ben Kagan. The cast included Miss Leslie Woods as Florence Farley, Richard Davis, Lon Clark, Joseph Julian, Jerry Macy, Frank Pacelli, Bill Adams, Sam Raskin, and Leona Powers. George Crook was at the organ, and the production was under the direction of Herbert Rice. Twenty years ago, radio sets were called newfangled contraptions. They were looked at with curiosity and suspicion. Few people had any idea then where radio was going. Today, radio is an everyday blessing which everyone enjoys. Today, radio brings us great music, drama, comedy, news, and information. When we listen to our favorite programs, we know that men in the armed services all over the earth can hear those programs, too. NBC and the affiliated independent stations speak through your radio set. They give you hours of entertainment and relaxation only after they have planned each program, rehearsed it until it is perfect. Thank you for listening to your NBC stations. They will continue to give you the programs you prefer. American radio wants its listening audience to be its friend and severest critic. This is the National Broadcasting Company.